are.
Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal, come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today, well, we'll get into that. I have found over 20 plus years of doing this show, occasionally holiday weekends can be hazardous for shows, or at least for guests, let's say, sometimes, including this one. So I'll not give you all the gruesome details, but I had, I thought going into the weekend, something happened with that. First part of Monday, started over, thought I had a solution to that. That too was waylaid. And then yesterday I thought this is going to solve the problem. And I thought a pretty cool, interesting guest at that for a stopgap measure of sorts. And then late last night, that too went sideways. So it's a long way of saying no guests today on Talking Animals, which is obviously an incredible rarity, but it does give us a chance for a bit of a throwback to when the Talking Animals format often involved animal songs and animal news. So indeed, we will hear some animal news stories from our fabled Rip and Read news department. It's been a little bit inactive of late. And assorted animal songs, including a new one from Ray Wiley Hubbard, an Animal Song Hall of Famer. We also hear his classic of the genre at some point in the show as well. But want to emphasize, if you have an animal news story you'd like to call attention to, or if you've got an organization, a rescue, or some other organization, excuse me, you're involved with that has an event coming up, a fundraiser, an adoption event, some other event that you'd like to call attention to, by all means, we can talk about that on the air here at 813-239-9663. Or you can just email the details to dj@wmnf.org or text them to 813-433-0885. And be happy to include what we can on the air. So, and needless to say, perhaps we'll return to our more customary format next week here on Talking Animals on WMNF. So let's start with a story that was a longtime animal person with a lot of elephant coverage. I should say elephant. This seems really important and pivotal, so I thought we'd start with this one as the lead story. The Bronx Zoo is considering relocating its last remaining elephant to a Tennessee sanctuary following the death of Happy, the beloved Asian elephant whose life sparked a landmark animal rights battle and changed how many people view elephant cognition. According to Gothamist, officials with the Wildlife Conservation Society, WCS, which operates the Bronx Zoo, are evaluating whether 57-year-old Patty, who shared a habitat with Happy before her death, should move to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, a 3,000-acre refuge that is home to 12 elephants currently. The discussion follows Happy's death in late May at age 55. Zoo officials say she was euthanized after experiencing worsening age-related health problems, including declining organ function. And necropsy later revealed severe arthritis and several large inoperable uterine tumors, according to The Independent. Happy's death left Patty at the Bronx Zoo's only remaining elephant and the last elephant living in New York City zoos. Quote, we want to make sure we do the best thing for Patty, Bronx Zoo Director Craig Piper told Gothamist. Last month, Piper and three members of the elephant care team traveled to Tennessee to assess whether the sanctuary would be an appropriate fit. We want to make sure that we feel that it would be the right move for her and the risk would be outweighed by the potential gains. Patty has lived at the Bronx Zoo since 1973, and WCS said some of her current keepers have worked with her for nearly 30 years, giving them an extensive understanding of her personality, behavior, medical history, and individual needs. WCS said that relocating Patty would require months of voluntary training before she could be transported, with preparations likely to take at least a year. At 57 years old, Patty is approximately 12 years older than the median life expectancy for elephants living in North American zoos. An official said transporting a geriatric elephant carries significant physical and psychological risk. They also noted that some older elephants have died following relocation. So we'll keep a close eye on that. And again, with any of these things, if you have any comments or thoughts on this topic, 813-239-9663, or email dj@wmnf.org. Or, of course, you can text, as always, at 813-433-0885. So, more of a grim note, California authorities unearthed at least 117 dogs in, quote, various states of decomposition Friday, many of which appeared to have been killed by gunfire as part of an ongoing investigation into an animal rescue organization. Bodies were discovered during a search of Miranda's Rescue in Fortuna, the Humboldt County's Sheriff's Office said. Officials have been granted a warrant that included excavation of the property for evidence that dogs had been buried in, quote, mass graves. The 117 sets of canine remains were found mostly intact at two sites, the Sheriff's Office said. Nearly two dozen skulls, hundreds of bones, and 600 dog collars were also recovered. Sheriff William Hansel thanked law enforcement teams and forensic veterinarians who assisted in the recovery, said in a statement that the investigation is just getting started. So we'll track that, obviously, as well. We'll come back to some of those news stories in just a moment, but how about we hear a animal song from one of our faves here at WMNF, by which I'm referring to Chuck Prophet, who is coming up again in benefit for WMNF at Skipper's Smokehouse August 13th. So we'll hear him by way of a animal song I've long liked of his. This is Chuck Prophet with What Makes the Monkey Dance here on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa.
mysteries from daytime soaps, late night cable, round the corner under the table. I've been looking for love in vain, looking for love that makes no shame. They go round short and tall. I got to get it.
As good a time as any to hear the new one from Ray Riley Hubbard, again, a animal song maestro, and we'll hear what made him so perhaps later in the show. This is called Dog or Wolf from Ray Riley Hubbard, new music on WMNF.
Is that a wolf out there howling at the moon? A dog will lick your hand,
Playing music from Way Roy Hubbard with Dog or Wolf here on WMNF. It's Talking Animals. Kind of an old school edition of Talking Animals here today. And before we heard Way Roy Hubbard, WMNF fave, of course, Chuck Prophet with What Makes the Monkey Dance. He'll be at Skipper's Smokehouse for WMNF on August 13th. So do not lollygag in getting your tickets. You'll be sadly disappointed if you wait too long on a Chuck Prophet show, obviously. So I'm Duncan Strauss. We're doing kind of the old school version of Talking Animals today. I explained why earlier, and but a lot of that format used to emphasize animal news and animal songs. So we're going to do a bit of both throughout the morning here. And happy to take your calls or emails, 813-239-9663, or email dj@wmf.org. Or, of course, you can always text 813-433-0885. If you want to text anything you think we should cover. And again, if you have, if your organization or one you work with or volunteer with, sorry, just getting myself organized here, believe it or not. So let's get back to an animal story. Headline: Memorial held for pregnant fin whale killed in Alaska cruise ship strike as calls grow for greater protections. Residents of Seward, Alaska recently gathered to honor the life of an endangered pregnant fin whale whose heartbreaking death in a cruise ship strike has become a powerful symbol of the growing calls for stronger protections for whales in Alaska's busy coastal waters. The memorial paid tribute to the mother whale and her unborn calf while urging the cruise industry to take immediate action to help prevent future tragedies. Quote, "It crushed me in our small town to have this majestic pregnant fin whale carried in dead on the bow of a mega cruise ship. With the opening of the new cruise ship terminal, I'm deeply concerned that about speed limits. We're going to see more ships hitting our whales," said Jamie Lyons, Seward resident and water taxi captain in the area. "We're gathering," he continued, "to honor and mourn the loss of this beautiful creature and to call on the cruise industry to immediately put a speed limit of 10 knots or less in place in sensitive whale areas across Alaska. People come from around the world to experience our great whales, and the cruise industry needs to do their part to keep them safe." The tragedy came to light on June 19th when Royal Caribbean's Ovation of the Seas arrived in Seward with the body of a 61-foot endangered female fin whale draped across its bow. The shocking discovery prompted an investigation by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. On June 20th, scientists conducted a preliminary necropsy and determined that the whale had suffered severe blunt force trauma consistent with a collision with a large vessel. They also confirmed that she was pregnant, making the loss even more devastating as both the mother and her unborn calf perished. As news of the tragedy spread in the days that followed, conservation organizations, scientists, and members of the Seward community renewed calls for stronger protections to reduce deadly ship strikes, one of the leading human-caused threats facing whales worldwide. The Center for Biological Diversity is calling on Royal Caribbean and other cruise ship companies to implement a speed limit of 10 knots or less when traveling through sensitive whale habitat or when whales are present across Alaska. This one's a little more upbeat, thankfully, a nice follow-up to that tough story. Well, this is in sort of World Cup related news as well. So So while the World Cup has brought the biggest names in soccer back into the international spotlight, one particular feathered fan is drawing just as many headlines. Merlin, a 2-year-old duck, has taken the internet by storm, captivating fans with his tiny, form-fitting Team Mexico jersey and confident waddle around his home of Mexico City. The duck, who skyrocketed to internet fame in early June after he was seen reveling in the festivities following Mexico's first victory in the tournament, has since become a proud member, symbol of the team overshadowing FIFA's official mascot, Zayu the Jaguar. Merlin's newfound celebrity status is taking him to new heights, landing him a visit with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. Hi, Sean. Yeah, if you can. Okay, sorry. We have another source for a good story or two here that I want to include. I just wasn't sure how to access it. Okay, so let's get into a local in-house story reported by Chris Young, correct? Yeah. So shelters across the region are facing an overwhelming number of animals due to economic constraints, housing issues, and deportations. Let's hear his story that he reported for WNF. It's talking animals on WNF.
Heidi Acuna is tending to the dogs at the Merciful Project, a foster home-based animal rescue located at a small house in West Tampa. She was inspired to open the rescue after seeing various animals roaming the streets in her childhood hometown of Bogota, Colombia. She stops to show Lolita, a dog she says has been at the rescue for over a year.
Well, this is a perfect story because Lolita was actually part of an immigration case. The owner of Loli had another dog and they had babies. And he contacted me last April, right after the new administration happened, and he needed to get rid of his dogs because he was in the process of getting deported. And I think, sadly, he got deported.
The Merciful Project opened in 2019. They take care of strays and pet surrenders. But Acuna says the uptick in animals needing rescuing is the worst she's ever seen.
I've never seen the amount of strays coming in any of the organizations in the area, especially with us, because now they know that we have space and capacity. They come all the time. Like, we, in the last week, for example, we have taken probably around 40 strays just from those areas where a lot of immigrants used to live.
Shelters across West Central Florida are consistently operating well above capacity. The Hillsborough County Pet Resource Center is currently at about 150% capacity for dogs. Some have been at the shelter more than 100 days. Chelsea Waldeck, Division Director of Hillsborough County's Pet Resource Center, says it's a variety of factors, including a changing economy and housing prices. She says they've also seen a small number of animals coming in from deportations.
So for us, it really is very tough. You know, we love these animals as if they were our own. So for us, we want to make sure that they are getting into good homes. We wish we could take them all home with us if we could.
Despite the hectic situation statewide, Heidi Acuna says she still finds joy in her job.
I feel the happiest woman alive. I am so happy. Even with the biggest problems that we ever face, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to see them, how they come in and how they leave our organization.
She's currently looking for volunteers, foster parents, and donations to support the overwhelming number of animals under their care. For more information and to see how to adopt Lolita and others, visit WMNF.org. Chris Young, WMNF News, Tampa.
Another great story reported by our fabulous WMNF News reporter, Chris Young. So we thank you for that. And Heidi Acuna is such a great fixture in the area for dog rescue and animal rescue, so we appreciate her getting in the nod as well. This is Talking Animals on WNF, a little bit different version of the show today for reasons that I won't belabor now that I've explained once or twice already. But I thought I would get back to the reference I made to Ray Wiley Hubbard being kind of a Hall of Famer in terms of the animal song realm, and we heard his new song Dog or Wolf earlier in the show, and but he's got at least one bona fide classic in the animal realm, which I thought we'd hear now. This is Snake Farm from Ray Wiley Hubbard on Talking Animals on WMNF.
Like tempest storm, she can dance like a little Egypt. She works down at the snake farm, snake farm. It just sounds nasty, snake farm. Pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Got a tattoo down her arm. It's of a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says snake farm, snake farm. It just sounds nasty, snake farm. Pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Nothing to do in the winter. Now and then some kid gets bit at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, and pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. She cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house, snake farm. Come on down here, it's getting warm. She runs everybody off, and we, you know, at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm, snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm.
Ray Wiley Hubbard, the Snake Farm. Here on Talking Animals, different the show here on Talking Animals for today, but we'll be right back to normal format next week, and looking forward to that. Hopefully you're enjoying some of the animal songs and some of the animal stories, and of course, as always, we're going to have our step into the comedy corner momentarily. We got some other stories coming up, and again, if you have any kind of event you'd like to have mentioned on the air, a fundraiser, adoption event, something you're working with in a rescue or animal organization or otherwise, feel free to call 813-239-9663, or you can send that to dj@wmnf.org, or text us here at 813-433-0885. So let's get to, we might do two comedy pieces today, but we'll certainly do one from our absolute fave here. This is Brian Regan with Fishing on TV. talking animals on WNF.
That'll make you worry about yourself. You ever watch fishing on TV for like 15 minutes and then just go, boy, I better get a life. I'm watching fishing. I'm not even fishing, I'm watching fishing. Too lazy to fish. I'm taping fishing to watch again later. Come on over, I got a fishing tape. No, a new one. And at the end of the fishing show, they roll credits. There are like 90 people involved with the two guys fishing. What are they all doing? And one of the credits is film editor. This poor guy. He's got to watch all the footage that's not exciting enough to make it into that final show. That's got to be hell. He's got to sit there all day just going, no, 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 no. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Mm-mm, no. That was just the worm when he put the worm. And I saw this credit at the end of the fishing show. I'm not making this up. Writer. I swear, there's a writer for the fishing show? What's he writing?
Ooh, she's a beauty.
Typing it out. Zing! Guy's got to worry about his lines. Finally catches a fish. You have a line. Oh, it's a fish and it's a beauty. He's a beauty fish. Fish is beauty. He landed a fish and a beauty fish. He was fishing beauty fish. All right, caught. You okay, man? You need some water? Are you all right?
Brian Regan. With Fishing on TV from his album many moons ago at this point, simply called Live. Going to carry on now with, we have another in-house WNF story that I want to be able to share with you. And so involves Panamanian golden frogs and another great job reporting by our news team. So let's hear that now on Talking Animals on WNF.
Becoming extinct in the wild around 2009 due to habitat loss and the deadly chytrid fungus. This fungus greatly affects the skin of amphibians. According to the National Zoo, these frogs have also experienced over-collection for the pet trade. Emerging disease is their greatest threat. Jasmine Perola, animal care professional on the reptile and amphibian team, says Zoo Tampa started a process to save the species once it was on the road to extinction.
So we're going to continue to work with the Species Survival Plan. It's basically like a dating app for endangered species to make sure that we're preserving those genetics and we're breeding individuals with purpose, not just to do it. And as long as we're doing it under the Species Survival Plan, we're going to continue to give back to their populations and keep them here on Earth.
Zoo Tampa supports other endangered species too.
But here in Florida, we have a lot of amphibians that are struggling and a few invasive amphibians as well. But they are going through a large extinction event that not a lot of people know about. So just learn about your local amphibians, your local reptiles, and that can really change.
You can find more information on WMNF.org. For WMNF News, I'm Janiyah Carter.
Again, our thanks to that great reporting. A lot of great work here at WNF in the news department, and it's just wonderful. A lot of it covers animals and animal issues, of course, so we love that. This is Talking Animals on WNF, again, a different version of the show, typically, often quoting animal news and animal songs, which back in the day was kind of a common part of the format, but less so at this point. And again, we'll probably return to our normal format next week, but I want to get back to a thing I've mentioned a few times on the show over the years. This is these eagles that have this incredible eagle cam in sort of the Lake Arrowhead area, Big Bear Valley, I guess. And so this one says, with just 1 month remaining before the July 31st deadline, the effort to permanently protect Moon Camp, that's the area where the The Eagles Hangout has entered a critical phase. The campaign has now raised millions of dollars towards its $10 million goal, but significant funding is still needed to preserve this vital habitat for Jackie, Shadow, their eaglets, and countless other native species. Conservationists continue to urge supporters to help protect Ruin Camp from future development before time runs out. To learn more about this campaign, and again, these eagles, Jackie and Shadow, and their eaglets over the years have become sort of internationally famous, really, partly because of this incredible nest cam that they have. And you can just search those right now. Sadly, probably the nest cam might be a bit empty because their latest eaglets have flown the coop, as it were. But it's a very cool thing to be able to see up close when you click on that camera. And I think developers are trying to take the area around the nest that Jackie and Shadow hang out at, so that's why this huge money-raising effort. So, all right, let's hear an animal song. With sometimes our definitions of animal song are pretty elastic, but this is Tom Waits here.
Got to get get behind a mule, yeah, in a morning plow. Get behind a mule, yeah, in a morning and plow. You got to get behind a mule, in a morning and plow. Get behind a mule, in a morning and plow. Cultivated birds on the power line. Get behind a mule in the morning and plow. Get behind a mule in the morning and plow. You got to get behind a mule in the morning and plow. Get behind a mule in the morning and plow. Pin your ear to the wisdom.
Get behind the mule from the Mule Variations. It's 80.5 FM WNF. It's Talking Animals, and I'd like to share another story we have here as part of our devotion today to animal stories and animal songs, generally speaking. So let's hear this piece now here on Talking Animals.
My name is Ed Hollihan, and this is the view from here. I live in a part of town that is delightfully populated by humans and their pets. I witness a parade on a daily basis of their relationships. Being mostly retired and a pensive sort, I've been taking notice of the ways that animals and their humans are both very much alike and dramatically different. I thought it would be fun and useful to begin cataloging my observations. The animal and its owner look alike. That's the biggest single reason that a human adopts a pet, because they look like each other. This resemblance actually increases gradually on an annual basis until the pet, the owner, or both pass on, often looking like twins when they do. The scientific term for this is annual superficial similitude. Look it up. One way that pets and their owners differ is apparent when nature calls. When I have to pee, I stop what I'm doing and head for the bathroom, excusing myself from my company. When a dog needs to pee, it walks to the back door and stares back over its shoulder. Now, I've tried the dog's method. Walked to the bathroom door, looked back over my shoulder, and waited and waited and waited. Eventually, I peed my pants, and then I returned to the party. Take it from me, no one is going to open that bathroom door for you. So do it yourself. Here's another way we resemble our pets. When you see a bat-crap-crazy cat bouncing around the house, hissing from behind the sofa and howling at any number of hallucinatory enemies, you can be sure that the cat's owner is similarly predisposed to odd behaviors. Now, we all know a pet who is perpetually licking itself, paws, belly, tail, everywhere. Now, this is not a hygienic routine. It is obsessively compulsive behavior, and it has 1,000 causes. Likewise, we all know a person who bites their fingernails, sometimes down to the quick, often drawing blood. This, too, is obsessive behavior. My Uncle Louis would sit on his living room couch next to his pet schnauzer. Louis meticulously... known in medical terms as reverse perverse digititis. When a little pet wants the food on the other side of its bowl or dish, it walks around the dish to get it. When I want whatever is on the other side of my plate, I just fork it without changing my position. This phenomenon increases in direct proportion to a decrease in the size of the pet. A Labrador retriever will stay put, with very few exceptions, and a toy poodle is known to travel around its bowl several times during the course of a single meal. You see, size does matter. This phenomenon is called dietary circumnavigation. Humans obsess over their pet's droppings. It doesn't matter, cat or dog, humans need to concern themselves with poop. Just consider the number of litter boxes and pooper scoopers in daily use. Now, it is well known that dog waste bags are the second most frequent use of plastic bags. Second only to using plastic bags to cover one's feet, thereby causing a false fever, thereby getting you out of accordion lessons. On the other hand, pets could care less about their owner's poop. If your pet does care about your droppings, get help as soon as you can and close the bathroom door in the meantime. I could go on, and I probably will in future musings. I would very much like your assistance in this pursuit. Make your own lists. Lists about you and your friends, your pets, and your friends' pets. And pass your observations along to me. Just hand me your list as we pass each other during our daily walk. You'll be out there walking Fido, and I'll be walking me.
All right, well, thank you for that, I guess. So now we've got one of our fave people here on the phone. Great volunteer for WNF, great volunteer for Florida Voices for Animals, and volunteering beyond that, which I think she'll be addressing momentarily. This is Susan House here on Talking Animals on WNF. Go ahead, Susan. Hello, are you there?
Hi. Can you hear me, Duncan?
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Terrific. Thank you. Well, not only Florida Voices for Animals, but I volunteer with St. Francis Society Animal Rescue, which is basically a cat rescue, but we do rescue dogs too. And I just wanted to tell everybody we have adoption events every weekend in Tampa at PetSmart Citrus Park and PetSmart South on Dale Mabry near 275. We have beautiful, adoptable cats and kittens, and also this is kitten season. We're in great need for people to foster for us. We're an all-volunteer rescue, meaning we have no shelter. All of our volunteers shelter, or all of our volunteers foster in their homes. So we please ask people to go to St. Francis Society Animal Rescue. Click on Other and then click on Volunteer. And please help us. Thank you.
All right. I hope you get good help. Sounds like you guys really need some help and some critters that could really benefit from that. So we really hope they'll respond. Thank you so much for letting us know.
Thanks, Duncan. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, we're in our final moments here of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. And coming up on this station, it's The Conversation, of course. The great shows by Myra Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, it's The Scoop, WNF's brief news recap. Then we shift back to music programming with Sam Vall on Instant Music from 1 to 3. And then some fabulous substitute for Nancy C., who's away at the moment. We'll be hosting the Wednesday Traffic Jam from 3 to 6 p.m. And more great programming after that on WNF 88.5 FM. Meanwhile, on this show at the moment, as a prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering some kind of cool trinket from the Talking Animals Vault. It's the first person who... calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. I sing that animal tune on Talking Animals on WNF. Guests off the air here as we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. We're back next week with, again, more customary version of the show. Appreciate the comments and patience and whatever. It's been a while since we've done one that's heavy on animal news and animal songs. But in the old days, it was great fun, and some of the good stuff we had today, I hope you enjoy. So... back next Wednesday again with at least one guest, maybe two, and invite you to visit talkinganimals.net. In the meantime, for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast, Apple Podcasts are available there too, as well as on other podcast platforms. There are also links to our social media pages. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Wikiwachi, and beyond. My thanks to Sean Canan for production assistance. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the conversation coming up momentarily here on WNF Tampa. Thanks.